The News was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome to Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio
is about to commence.
Uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Huh? Anybody? Julie, hey, guess what day it is? Oh, come on, I know you can hear me. Mike, what day is it, Mike? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-hoo!
There it is. It's Wednesday, October the 8th, and it's hump day. Are you getting tired of that yet? I'm not. I like it. And Bob obviously likes it because he comes in and plays it. He plays it on Thursday sometimes when I'm not watching. 605-4567 is our phone number. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460, and we're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Good morning, Sonny. Good morning, Angel. Already there. You know what? They come in early. They bombard us with great things, and then they go out for walks in the morning on the river trail. There was a stabbing on the river trail, but you had to be out there at 11 o'clock, and you have to be a transient, and you have to be stabbed by other transients. Now, does that mean that you, as a person out there walking, couldn't be stabbed by a transient? Well, you could if you're walking on the river trail at 11 o'clock at night. So, anyway, good morning, everybody. Chief of Police Rob Pelletti. I guess it's appropriate to have him on today. I have been saying, okay, what's happened since the big town hall meeting with thousands of people involved with this, listening, attending, standing outside, whatever. And Rob, I saw the chief yesterday, and he said, and he's got a stack. He must got a 2 inches of documentation here that these are the things that are happening to the good that maybe we just don't hear about. So today we're going to talk about the positive steps forward we have taken to fight crime, to take control of the illegal camps, all of this today. And that starts at 8 o'clock, plus 1,000 other things we're going to be doing today. So good morning, everybody. Good morning, Bob. What's the weather look like today?
Abundant sunshine. A high will be around 91. Temperatures are tapering off. Overnight low of 57. Dropping down into the 80s tomorrow, and the cooling trend will continue around the week. Possibility of rain, they are saying, by Monday, but that's far enough away. We're going to take that with a grain of salt, because currently it is 63 degrees in Reading, and the report is brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane.
Well, it's cool to be a Shasta Gas Propane customer, that's for sure. Locally owned, locally operated, discounts for seniors and veterans. Give them a call at 365-3793, Chuck Kinney's going to be on here in a couple of weeks talking about this new project he's doing. He's hiring veterans for it. Hey, you know what? I want to talk about, you know, as long as we're talking about veterans, I want to talk about something that happened yesterday. A disabled veteran was a wounded Purple Heart veteran was given an eviction. Well, they cut it, not an eviction notice. They cut off. They were cutting his power off at his house. Well, once you get the power cut off, then the next thing is an eviction notice. Whether it happens right away or how soon it happens is a matter of conjecture. This, of course, went around the veterans community real quick because the Military Order of the Purple Heart and the Welcome Home guys, Rob Burrows, and, of course, Gunny Phelan and his group of merry warriors gave some money there. But the big thing was this, was it wasn't that the young man who has a wife and two kids, by the way, wasn't getting the money together, but it was the big turn-on fee again, where they have to that you have to give this deposit that was killing everything. So I went to Barry Tippin, and there was a meeting yesterday between Barry and his staff and myself, Mike Quinn, who is head of the REU Electric Commission and also, of course, running for office and a veteran, the only veteran that's running, and Rob Burrows and, of course, the gunny, Bill Phelan was there. It was a great meeting. It was the fact is one of the things that Barry asked me, he says, the person that was talking to him tell him that there are these other programs? And it appears that they did, and they helped him get part of that money. So the bottom line is this. that REU, we're going to talk more about it. REU is going to put just a notice in their for the people on the website for veterans. These are organizations that you can seek help from. It's going to put in a number of the different organizations, veterans organizations around here. The question was, you know, and they have to be, you know, should we, you know, we can't treat, you know, the thing that got everybody going was we can't treat veterans differently than we can, say, meth heads. Well, of course we can. Yes, we can. We can do these things. But the big thing is communication and knowledge, because after talking to Barry and Bernie yesterday, they are more than happy to reach out to veterans and to help veterans. And so it was a great meeting. Lasted like 45 minutes, and everybody got up and said, okay, we accomplished a lot here. Now we can we can get some brochures out to everybody, the stand down and all these other places. So to find out that if you're getting in problems with electricity, because once you get into problems, then it is, you know, then it really rocks, because it's hard coming back from that. And the thought of a disabled veteran getting his power cut off for he and his family just infuriates me. And I'm not even going to go into the part about new buildings, new furniture, and all this stuff from REU and all this, and a $46 million, of course, it's not that much, reserve, whatever the reserve is. It just infuriates me that we'd have a Purple Heart, a recipient of a Purple Heart, where we have veterans that are already 25% unemployment. They'll say 17%, but everybody knows it's closer to 25%. If you look at underemployed or two jobs and all these things. So, but even that, there's still 10% over everybody else in America are these young veterans, and, you know, from the ages of, 18 up to 27. So here we are with these young men and women coming back. It's tough for them to get jobs in this economy. It's tough for them to get back into, society with this. And then that they're trying, and this young man was working two jobs. And then one job kind of ended because the company ended. And so that made things tough. Keeping a roof over your heads, trying to make the payments and all this. Now, the whole story wasn't out there. I mean, how many times it happened and all that. But the bottom line is this. A wounded veteran, a disabled veteran has come back. We don't need to turn his power off. No, we don't. Either stretch it out over a year or 2 years. I don't care. But there should be something in there. You know, if there's there's a big difference between a disabled veteran and somebody that is not trying, if you know what I mean. Okay. Anyway, but I'd like to say is that Barry Tippin and REU leaned forward, as we say, to get these things done. So the main thing is communication, where people can go to, so it doesn't get that bad. And we're going to have Barry on here in a week or so, and he's going to talk about these different programs and the things we can do. And he wants to point out is how many people are truly evicted from their homes is it's not very many. It's like less than 5 or something like that. But I think the point is when you turn the power off, you know, do they just leave by themselves and go someplace else? You know, whether it's an eviction thing or do they leave, which is another question for it. But I just want to give a shout out to REU, because a lot of times I don't shout out for them. But in this case, I am. I appreciate what they're doing. I appreciate Rob Burrows and Gunny Phelan for helping with this thing too. And they're going to be telling when people call in, as Bernie has pointed out, that he's going to tell his people there to make sure that veterans know that there's these other resources available too. Okay. You know, one thing that does happen, Linda, of course, as you can tell, she's not here, but she's on the road this morning doing a lot of things, working for this upcoming bridal show extravaganza that's coming here in a couple months. But I do know is that when I got up at 3 o'clock this morning, there was something that woke me up at 3:15 this morning. I didn't know what it was. You know, I kind of wandered around the house. I don't know. What is it? Did I hear something or something? But it wasn't. And so I laid back in bed, and boom, my sleep number setting of 40 was perfect. Boom, right back to sleep. What can I say about sleep number? Except that we've had it for over a year, and I can't say enough about how well we sleep and how much is a good night's sleep worth to you. Not only that, not only can you change your sleep number setting because it has this technology, the air technology, but Linda can sleep with a separate sleep number setting of 45. because you can adjust it any way you want. And now, Sleep IQ technology in the new beds, which it senses how you're sleeping, how you're moving around, and will send you an app message that says, oh, you might want to try 40, or you might want to try 50, so you can sleep better. How much is a good night's sleep worth? It's incredible how good these mattresses are. Made in America, Consumer Reports, number one mattress in America. Guaranteed. They have, it is just a fantastic bargain. You say, oh, there's so much. Well, right now, you can afford a Sleep Number bed. Right now, during the Columbus Day sale, you can save $400 on the most popular Sleep Number bed, the lowest price ever. So what do? You head into our Sleep Number store in the Target Shopping Center and talk to Brian or Janice and have them show you just what a Sleep Number bed can do for you. It is, frankly, it changes the way you sleep. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back right after these messages. Call on the box, KCNR, 1460.
Hi, I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Reading City Council. We have many important issues facing the city, none more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Paletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens. And this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
Hi, this is Zoe from Zoe's Travel Shop in the Mount Shasta Mall.
We're open 7 days a week for all your traveling needs. Make travel fun where you can find items that are safe and fashionable. We carry brands such as Ex Officio, PacSafe, Dakine, Eagle Creek, and Briggs & Riley. That's Zoe's Travel Shop located in the Mount Shasta Mall.
From city streets to country gravel, your fun begins at Zoe's Travel. And don't forget to check us out on Facebook.
Hello, my name is Kristen Schrader. I was born and raised here in Reading. I went to local schools and raised a family with my husband, Jack. I'm running for city council because I'm prepared to make Reading the place our community desires and deserves. I'll bring new jobs to Reading, make sure our city is safe, and maintain our infrastructure. I've been endorsed by the Reading Peace Officers Association, Reading Firefighters Association, and the Shasta Builders Exchange. On November 4th, vote for me, Kristen Schrader. I'll get things done. Paid for by Kristen Schrader for City Council 2014.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Are you tired of worrying if your business will survive till the economy gets better? Worry no more. The Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce has the tools to help you with your small business. From valuable networking events to educational seminars, we are here in your community. People do business with people they know. Get closer to your future customers by joining the Reading Chamber of Commerce today. As a member, you will participate in referral programs, member-to-member discounts, free listing on the Chamber website, and your company name listed in our business directory with a distribution of 5,000 copies to potential customers. Call us at 225-4433 to find out how you can meet your new customers and build your business.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we explore how technology continues to impact our daily lives. Join us, Bob and Brenda Belongi, every Saturday from noon to 1 to learn about the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, along with the breaking news that affects your day-to-day digital life. Boomer Tech Radio, brought to you by Advanced Automotive, safe, reliable car care for their customers and our community. That's Boomer Tech Radio, now noon to 1 on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Thanks for joining Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back. Free Fire Radio.
Can I pop in real quick?
As long as there's no surprises.
No. J. just a reminder, a painful reminder, that the firefighting business is an inherently dangerous one. An air tanker
went down at
Yosemite, and we have a lot of pilots up, and it's a small, very close-knit community, both the air tanker pilots and the smoke jumpers. And so a moment for them, because this is – they put their lives on the line to protect lives and property.
Yep. It's true. And sometimes we forget that, you know, and it's, all of a sudden it comes back with this, something happens like this, but, you know, it doesn't even begin to talk about injuries and other things that happen, you know, tree limbs coming down, burns, those kind of things that you don't hear about, but this is just part of their life. Speaking of being part of our lives, Viking Skate Country has been a part of my life, well, part of my life for 7 years, but it's been a part of Reading for over 40 years, and Marianne Johannesson's is going to be here to tell us about it.
Yeah, we've been here for since 1974, opened in 1974. I've been running the business since 1976, and we're real proud to be a family, local, family-owned business. Our children worked there. My husband and I have. I'm still working there. I probably made cotton candy for you if you came roller skating there back in 1980, and I'm still doing it today. So we're real proud that we're still here serving the kids 40, and families.
40 years. So now you're seeing the kids. Oh, no, you may be seeing grandkids of the kids that you saw.
Way to rub it in, Carl. Yeah. you know, they always mean it as a compliment when they come in with their children, and in some cases their grandchildren, for a birthday party, and say, man, I used to skate here all the time when I was a kid, and I just feel so old right then because I probably waited on them when they were here. When they were 12, and now I'm waiting on them when they're 42.
You know, I just love that. You know, okay, now, the last time I skated, and I have to admit, it's been a long time, because, and the reason was, is one day I was watching on the, you know, I was on the beach, and I was watching this guy come up, and he got out of his car, and we were about the same age, and he put on his knee pads, his elbow pads, his helmet, and his skates, and he took, like, one stride, feet went straight up in the air. He must have been 5 feet up in the air, and he came straight down. And I said, oh, and that was the – I don't think I'd ever think about skating anymore. I mean, Linda can. She's good, but I thought, oh, I just don't think I'd recover from that one.
Well, you know, the older we get, the harder we fall. And, of course, a tall man has a lot farther to go than an 8-year-old. When they fall, the kids don't seem to have any problem with it, of course, just
they
like
bounce.
They always do. They
yeah.
just get right back up, laugh, and keep going.
Okay, now tell us some great things about Viking. I mean, I know that you have redone it and redone it and redone it, but I mean, tell us some great things about Viking over the last 40 years.
Well, I think, you know, part of the thing for me, I love kids. I love people. The neat thing is when you have, let's say, a school, and they show up in these little kids, they're all lined up. They're coming for a special event, maybe a reward for end of the year or good grades or good citizenship, and they come running into the skating rink. Oh, wow. Oh, great. I can't wait. You know, they are so happy to be there, so excited. They have such a good time. And the thing I like about that is, you know, a lot of children don't have the athletic skill to get on a team, or their parents don't have the money to buy the uniform and that kind of thing. But roller skating is something anybody can do. You don't need to be picked for a team. You can do it by yourself, one friend. You can do it with your family. You can make friends there. And so everybody can feel at home there. And that's one of the things I really like about it. Then the birthday parties are another thing I really like. You know, a birthday party to an 8-year-old or an 11-year-old is a really special event. They feel like a prince or princess for a day. And I love the fact that after 40 years, people are still choosing Viking Skate Country as the place to celebrate their child's birthday. I hear the comment all the time from parents as they're either booking it or the day they're having the party. This is such a great deal. This is such a good value, and we had such a wonderful time. And, of course, that makes me feel really, really good.
Well, it is. It's great. It's part of growing up around here. It's part of growing up anywhere, if you can have something like this.
Yeah,
skate
well,
country.
Even some of the old DJs say, oh, well, I used to skate there. Yeah, right, Bob?
I attempted skating once or twice, but I DJed there for part of a summer. It was
there
a
you go. Yeah. See, you
now,
probably worked
is,
for
is there
me.
Something special going on here?
Yeah, we're celebrating as part of our 40th anniversary, and coincidentally, it's National Roller Skating Month in the month of October. We're having a couple of special events. The big event is on October 11th, a Saturday. We're having a roller skating mascot called Roller Roo. It's kind of like a giant friendly kangaroo in colorful, you know, orange and purple colors, and the kids just love him. And he's
That's
coming.
Not the senator dressed up in a costume, right?
Well, you know, my lips are sealed. I just can't say. But it's worth a photo op, Carl. Anyway, Roller Roo's going to be there to do the hokey pokey and visit with the kids Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon, all afternoon. And the kids that want to get their picture taken with Roller Roo will be on our Facebook page. So it should be a really good time and lots of fun for the kids.
And that's going to be on
Saturday, October 11th.
October 11th. And it starts at what time?
Well, we've got a morning time for kids 10 and under and their parents from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Then we go two afternoon sessions, 12 to 2:30. And 2 to 4:30. We do have a website, which is vikingskatecountry.com, and you can check out our Facebook page if you're looking for more information.
Wow, you're just right in there.
Well, I'm trying. I have to admit, on the IT side, I do get a lot of support from others much younger than me.
You are always young.
Oh, thank you. You are
always out there. You and the senator always. Every time that there's something going on around here, you all have got something to do with it in a positive sense.
Thank you so much. And it's usually about politics and veterans for my husband, but it's also about the, you know, that first love of his, that Viking skate country, which in typical fashion in a small town was an uphill battle. He was definitely had to fight to get that built, and we're real proud to say it's been an iconic structure for kids and families for 40 years.
I bet you've had how many? 100 times people wanted to buy that from you.
Well,
for something else.
Yeah, they probably do come up with ideas once in a while. And, you know, we try to keep our prices low so that people can afford to do it, both in the snack bar. It's not the infamous movie theater with a $15 box of popcorn. Well,
they let you in for six, and, yeah. And you walk out with a $15 box of popcorn and a $4 drink and $3 water. And it's like, huh, what? What?
Yeah, so we try to keep our prices down to keep the community involved and able to have access to what we consider a good old-fashioned fun entertainment, safe place for your kids.
Well, thank you so much for being in here.
And thank you
us,
for the opportunity,
Johansson.
Carl.
Well, you know what? It's anytime you or the senator walk through the door, you've always got a seat here. In fact, I'll just give you the show.
I
can't think, you know, everybody talks about helping. A lot of people help. There's a lot of great people, many, many great people here in the city of Reading in the North State. But, you know, you all say, well, we're going to do this, and then you do it. And a lot of times you do things people don't even know about.
Well, that's
which
true.
Which are great.
And, I'll make an offer to you since you're kind of king of the veterans with the communications around here. Hey, if the veterans, you want to organize a little get-together there at the roller skating rink for especially young veterans and their families, just give me a call. We'll see what we can put together.
All right. We can do that. And so they can bring in their family, especially these younger ones.
All right.
Like that. I don't know how many of those older ones you're going to get up there.
Well, they can sit and watch.
We can sit and watch.
Cheer them on.
And cheer on this. Every time. Anyway, okay, the 40th anniversary of the Viking Skate Country. And skating, is it skating?
Skate Country.
Skate Country. 40 years on the 11th of October.
A big oof da.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be a great time. And, you know, 40 years of being a part of Reading in the North State. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me on.
You bet. Okay, we'll be right back after these messages. Carl Linda Bott, KCNR, 1460.
Everybody calls us summer, fall, winter, and spring. We've got the best. It's hard to guess who's gonna make our telephone ring.
At Alliance Heating and Air Conditioning, everybody calls us, 221-2642. Because when you call 221-2642, we help keep you cool. 221-2642. Be cool with Alliance Heating and Air. 221-2642. Now you say the number.
Everybody calls us.
I'm Francie Sullivan, Vice Mayor of the City of Reading. I have deep roots in this area. I was born and raised in the Bitterroot Valley of Montana, but I've had family here since before Lassen erupted. My husband is retired and we could live anywhere. We choose to live in Reading. We love living in a friendly, generous town. We're grateful for the parks and trails that help keep us healthy. And we're grateful to live in a community that knows how to come together to solve problems. Together, we'll make Reading a safer town. I want to invite you, the public, to become part of the process, made up of all of you, the City Council, and city employees, to make Reading thrive and be the best place to live, work, and raise a family. With safe neighborhoods and quality jobs, I'm Francie Sullivan. I'd appreciate your vote on November 4th for the Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Sullivan for City Council 2014.
Hello, I'm Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. My wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas 17 years ago with the goal of providing safety, service, and savings to our neighbors here in Shasta County. We've been blessed with over 4,000 customers that have chosen us to be their propane supplier. Our motto is, our customers are warm friends. Speaking of warm, summer is gone and fall is here. Now is the time to consider your propane service for this upcoming winter and give us a call at 365-3793. The price difference could be significant between companies, but price should not be the only consideration. Safety is our first priority, so we perform safety checks when we set a new tank. If dealing with a locally owned, family-operated company is important to you, then please give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. Give us a call and let us call you one of our warm friends.
Beginning October 1st, the KCNR 1460 daily lineup changes with Laura Ingram from 9 a.m. to noon. Then, noon to 3, America's favorite financial and political analyst, Dave Ramsey, with one of the highest-rated programs on the radio today. Mark Levin will remain at 3 to 6, followed by Dennis Miller and Roger Hedgecock. KCNR 1460 with Nate Arborea on sports and more local programming than anyone else in Northern California. KCNR 1460, the pulse of the North State.
It's Carl and Linda Bott and Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Linda's on assignment this morning. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Espresso Joe's, great coffee, and if you're looking for super, super presents for Christmas, exotic coffee, coffee makers, you've got it all right there. Right at Tobacco and Brew. Veterans always get discounts. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Okay, as we continue on to what's happening in our world, and so I have here the Evergreen Union School District talking about their Music and Merlot, a Western hoedown at the beautiful JBL Ranch in Cottonwood. It starts Saturday at 5 p.m., October 11th. So who am I here with?
Well, hi, I'm Abby Ehorn, and I am the music specialist at the Evergreen Union School District.
A specialist.
A specialist. I specialize in joyful musical experiences for our kids at Evergreen. We have three schools that are in our district. We have the Evergreen Elementary School, which has about 500 kids from preschool to fourth grade. And we have the middle school, which is fifth grade through eighth grade. And then we also have the Bend School, which is out, little country school out off of Jelly's Ferry. And they have four grades out, or four classrooms out there, but it is grades kindergarten through eighth grade, too. And I've got two students. One is Carly Rodriguez. Say hi, Carly.
Hi.
And Carly, why don't you tell them what grade you're in?
I'm in eighth grade, and I go to the Bend School.
And she's going to be singing for us.
And you're going to be a part of this there, Carly?
Yes, I'm going to be singing with my sister.
Oh, and what's her name?
My sister's name is Kelly Rodriguez.
Kelly. Okay. Carly and Kelly.
Yeah.
I can go with that. And, all right, who are you, little star? Try to take my seat. Wanted to take over the show.
Hi, I'm Sydney Dacey.
Sydney Dacey. Okay, Sydney.
And I will not be at the show, but I've been doing this every year since kindergarten to help get this fundraiser out
there. You have, huh? Okay, and so kindergarten, I mean, how many, what, two, three decades ago? What? Or is that two? How, what grade are you in now?
Huh? Fifth grade.
Fifth grade.
Fifth grade.
So, you know.
I'm just going to say, if you look up the word precocious in the Unabridged Dictionary.
There's a photo of this young lady right there. What a cutie. Okay, all right. So music and Merlot. And, okay, it's going to be, as I said, this Saturday. You can get tickets at the Elegant Bean, the Cottonwood Eatery, or by calling and reserving at the door for tickets. But 347-3411, extension 7505. There's going to be, oh gosh, all types of great things.
Yeah, this is our fifth year of doing this, and the community of Cottonwood and actually the surrounding areas in Redding and Red Bluff, they've come together. 5 years ago, our music program was going to be eliminated, and I am the only music teacher, and I serve almost 1,000 students. I teach all the kids from kindergarten to eighth grade. So the community said, no, we really think that music is important. Our administration said we want to fight to keep this. And so with the help of so many parents and teachers and staff and all the community, we rallied together and we created the first what we call Music and Merlot Dinner and Auction fundraiser. And we were actually able to sustain that music program. And now it's been 5 years that we're continuing to sustain it and also to provide, you know, equipment, materials, field trips, assemblies, all kinds of things that give students wonderful experiences in the arts and especially music.
We need to have arts in the schools, and some people sometimes forget that. And so the community getting together said, this is important to us. And I just read a small, you know, some of the small things that you all have accomplished, bringing in acrobats, pop musicians, traditional African drumming.
Yeah, yeah.
Wow. Wow. Okay. So you're going to sing for us, huh, Carly?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, give us a few here, okay?
Carly's going to sing a little bit for you. Here we go. All right. We're gonna end right there. Because we think that music in the school is beautiful, right? Mm-hmm. That's what makes you beautiful.
You're insecure. Don't know what for. You're turning heads when you walk through the door. Don't need makeup to cover up. Being the way that you are is enough. Everyone else in the room can see it. Everyone else but you. Baby, you light up my world like nobody else. The way that you flip your hair gets me overwhelmed. You smile at the ground, it ain't hard to tell. You don't know, you don't know you're beautiful. If only you saw what I see, you'll understand why I want you so desperately. Right now I'm looking at you and I can't believe. You don't know, you don't know you're beautiful. Oh, that's what makes you beautiful.
Okay. Yahoo!
Well, that's just a little taste.
Just a little taste.
Some of the music.
We got a little Jewel Nettle Merchant thing going on.
Oh, yeah, here.
She's great. She's still great.
Okay, now this is a $45 a person donation or sponsored table of eight for $300. This sounds like a great time, and it does. It really, you can see where the money goes to.
Exactly.
And you're going to have national champion fiddle players there, live jazz music by Indigo Brew, bluegrass music by Abby Ehorn, special guest student performances. Like you, hon?
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. That's you and your sister. Live auctions, silent auctions, and incredible door prizes.
Exactly. So right now, basically, what we need, we just need people that want a great night out for a great cause. The weather's going to be beautiful. Get on your cowboy boots. It's at a ranch, and it's got kind of a Western theme. We've got Cottonwood Eatery is catering the Western barbecue. We've got Bernsini wine out there. We've got beer and wine available for purchase. You get a keepsake glass. And the greatest thing is, you know, come out and have a great time. It's really a great time.
great prizes here. 7-day vacation home. Yeah. For auction that sleeps 10 in Kona, Hawaii. Palm Springs Resort vacation. Everything. Fishing trips, themed gift baskets, it's all. Well, yeah. And you've done well. And so, obviously, since you're singing, and that, and you sing very well.
Thank you.
Were you just natural, or did the teacher help a little bit?
She definitely helped me.
Did the specialist help? Specialist. When I think of specialist, I think of, you know, you're looking in somebody's ear, you know, but is that what they call you?
Well, you know, that's what I specialize in. I specialize in teaching music, so, okay. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's another story. Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. And how do people get a hold of you?
Well, actually, they can call the school, Evergreen Union School District. That number is 347-3411. You can get your tickets, you know, reserve them at the door. We don't want to sell out. You know, we've got room for 200, and we might get close to that. So if you want to go, really get your tickets. It's such a great event for a great cause.
Super. Okay. Well, thank you very much for being here today.
All right. Thanks all for right. having us.
We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460.
There's a fire starting in my heart, reaching a fever pitch, and it's bringing me out the dark. Finally, I can see you crystal clear. Go ahead and sell me out, and I'll lay your ship bare. See how.
Hello, I'm Patrick Jones, and it has been an honor for me to serve on the Reading City Council these last 8 years. The future of Reading is bright. We still have many serious issues facing us as we move forward. Issues like pension reform, roads, water, and above all, the rising crime rate in the city of Reading. So I hope you join me this November 4th and vote Patrick Jones for Reading City Council, paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones 2014.
People think it's so easy being a fish. They think we just swim around all day enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, they certainly don't know how hard it is to survive all the nasty stuff they toss down their storm drains.
You're telling me. Yesterday I had to swim my fin off just to try and dodge some motor oil.
I hear ya. This morning it was fertilizer. Nothing quite as fun as starting off the day trying to outswim the green monster.
What the fish are trying to say is not everyone understands that stormwater does not get treated. When it rains, the pollutants on our streets flow directly into our streams and rivers and can have adverse effects on plants, animals, drinking water, and yes, even fish. To learn more, call Reading Municipal Utilities at 224-6068. 224-6068.
Incoming! Not the car washing suds!
When it rains, it drains. Learn how you can protect our waterways and streams. Call 224-6068. 224-6068.
See you at the lake.
Hi, this is Dr. Ed at North State Nerve and Spine Institute. It amazes me that most patients are not aware that peripheral neuropathy can be a fatal disease. Untreated peripheral neuropathy can lead to amputation of the fingers, the toes, and eventually death. At North State Nerve and Spine Institute, we've been using a new technology from Europe and have seen some amazing recoveries. If you're suffering with tingling, pain, or numbness in your fingers or toes, or you've been diagnosed with peripheral neuropathy, take advantage of our free 7-point evaluation to determine if you're a candidate for this new revolutionary treatment. Call us today at 530-302-3555. That number again is 530-302-3555. I'm Dr. Ed, and we are North State Nerve and Spine Institute.
In the 40s, Reading Cab and Yellow Cab merged, and Reading Yellow Cab was born. A lot has changed since then. The town has more than tripled in size, and so have we. Through the decades, we have served Reading with generations of trustworthy drivers, family men and women, treating their customers with the respect and professionalism we would expect for our own families. When you need to get to or from the airport to the train station, perhaps, we're there for you. When you need a safe ride home, need to do some shopping, or want someone to shop for you, call Reading Yellow Cab at 222-1234, and we'll be there for you.
National news with a local view. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott.
Good morning. It is
7:44 in the morning, and it's 58 degrees out there. Is it still 58 degrees, or is it getting a little bit warmer here? I guess it could be.
I will check the update. We've been fighting with a computer here, so I'll check.
Okay, that's right. Okay, hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by Ted Leidy and Northern Firearms Instruction. For a limited period of time, Northern Firearms Instruction will provide a free firearm rental and ammunition for Shasta County residents who take their basic CCW course. They teach, you know, classes, co-ed classes, all women's classes, advanced pistol, the whole gamut of classrooms. And you can check out their the remarks on them by checking out their website, readingccw.com, or call NFI at 999-1822. And the reason I say that is, every one of the everybody can make a comment after the instruction. You might get it. There's like been 590 comments and reviews, and you might want to take a look at them because every one of them has been. I can't say every one of them, but most every one of them has been very, very complimentary, especially about me. But oh, have you been through there?
Yes, I have.
Was it in an all women's class?
No, I did the co-ed class.
The co-ed class.
Yes.
Well, we call it co-ed class because we have sometimes all guys and sometimes it's, you know. But we have the all-women's class, which they like it. And women students are just the best. They ask questions. If they don't understand something, I need you to explain this to me. And then we get everybody out there, and we go through – well, no, but it's fine because men a lot of times get into this, you know, oh, you know, I'm a guy. You know, my DNA says I know about this, and they just have no clue about what they're doing, which is even more dangerous. Okay, past that. Bridge to Success. I'm here with Kimberly Hall and Jeannie Jacobs.
Kimberly Dunn.
Dunn. Well, why did I say that? I knew that.
Okay, Carl.
It's Tuesday. It's Tuesday. No, it's Wednesday. That's what happened. I missed a day yesterday. Bridge to Success with Kimberly Dunn and Jeannie Jacobs. And let's talk about what that is, discipline that works.
Well, what I can tell you about it is we exist because we know now. When I first started, I'm older than I look. When I first started, younger than I look maybe, in this field of helping parents and helping kids, we didn't really know very much for sure about how to go about that. And in the last about 15 years, there's really been a lot of information that's science-based coming out. And one part of it is that time between conception and kindergarten is a really, really important time of development. And so a lot of things are happening that if they kind of wire in the brain correctly, you don't even remember what's happening the first 5 years. But if things go well and you wire to the best of your abilities during that time, you basically have a lifetime of better functioning. It's related to higher functioning and test scores.
Like imprinting your children.
Yeah, exactly. So Bridges to Success is a supportive program for parents, teachers, grandparents, anybody who works with young children, lives with young children. We support you during that time.
Okay. Now, what are some of the things that you can do?
Well,
when we say discipline that works. What do you do with the terrible twos?
Yeah, that's a good question. Discipline that works is one of the things we want to talk about today, by the way. That's a parenting group, a support group for parents, grandparents, teachers, anyone who's working with children. It's free. It's Wednesday evening, 6 to 7:30. We're always there. If it's a Wednesday, we're at Lassen View School.
Free child care.
With free child care. There. And so what do we say? What do we do? Well, that we use an approach that's called Triple P. It's Positive Parenting Program. It's evidence supported. It doesn't tell you what to do. It gives you information. That's what I like about it. So
does it give options there?
Yep. It talks about how, okay, if your child is two, actually I thought three was worse myself, but if your child is two or three and they're doing the thing they do, which is I won't breathe if you tell me to in a bossy way. That's pretty much how preschoolers and toddlers are. It tells you, gives you options and support for helping teach the child that you have to do what you're asked by adults, whether you want to or not. That you have to follow directions, that to be successful, you've got to kind of learn to regulate yourself.
Does that work for like older people on radio staffs?
It totally does. You know what? It does. A lot of bad behavior is due to similar things as preschoolers. Yep.
It starts under preschoolers. That's why we say we have to break the cycle, right, Kimberly?
Exactly. Absolutely.
So if we break the cycle, we...
Well, if we break the cycle, then we can change generations to come. And our community is really... we're finding more and more grandparents are interested in seeing their children who have children and grandparents are taking children under their wing. And so maybe they would want to refer their children who have the grandparents have grandchildren through.
Well, you know what I found? Well, I shouldn't say I found, but just as anecdotal, is I have a lot of friends who are taking care of their, taking care of the grandkids 2 or 3 days a week. And in some cases, they were more than that. And the grandkids were really, literally seeing them more than their parents. So I understand what you're saying. And so that the, this would be something might be for the grandparents. And it's tough because of the grandparents. And they have to give them up. And their kids, I mean, and it's tough on the kids, I imagine, because you could have two totally different levels of discipline that this child is just getting completely confused about.
I also think that there's some changes in the culture that are really important to note. That used to be we lived close to or with people who knew our kids and were right there and could support us. Now we have two-parent working families. We have families that have two different homes that children go to. I can remember when the TV went off the air and so did the radio, and you had to go to bed. You know what I mean? There's nothing to do.
Bob can remember when there was no electricity.
Yeah, yeah. Remember when there were no VCRs? We could really get into this.
VCRs.
There aren't even VCRs now, are there?
Well, you know, when I went to Desert Shield, Desert Storm, and this was 1990, but there was no such thing as a computer at our levels. We were getting snail mail all the time.
Well, and so here's the bad news that has caused. I mean, it's awesome. I use it too. But what's hard for families is there are things that take away our time and attention and easily distract us. And so what children need to develop to the ultimate is regular periods of fully focused adult attention. And it's really easy to sort of not even notice that you're not giving them that.
Well, okay. I was going to say, Kimberly says, I need that too right now.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I just wanted to tag team on what Jeannie says and offer the listeners one little tip that we use when we're working with families. It's called the 10-20-10, which is, especially if you have multiple children, 10 minutes of one-on-one time with each child in the morning, 20 minutes of one-on-one in the afternoon, and 10 minutes again in the evening. May seem like a lot, but the key is it's child-directed. You let your child play with you and tell you how they want to play, and that helps them receive the attention, the approval, the affection that they need to feel secure about themselves.
But you've got to give that 10-20-10, 30 minutes of intense love there.
Whatever they want to do.
Full attention. And mm-hmm. that is harder.
And that's tough. You're right. You know, years ago, it wasn't so bad. But now, we're reading things where, you know, a child shouldn't see TV before a certain age because it's running their head.
It's
running their brain.
Before age two,
they shouldn't even be looking at it. And then even up to, and I guess there's other ages as you get, older, mm-hmm. it has a detrimental effect on children.
And it's easy. I'm a parent also. It's easy to sort of think, are you kidding? I'm with these kids all the time. Why do I need to pay more attention? But it's the fully focused kind of attention. The other thing, another tip I would give is you've kind of got to be able to regulate yourself as well, because mm-hmm. a lot of times being with kids is annoying and upsetting. And if we approach them in our discipline kind of dysregulated ourselves, it doesn't work as effectively.
Well, I it's just tough. It's just tough on kids, and I don't know if you answered the question. I'm just obtuse this morning. The part about the double types of discipline. Mm-hmm. I think of something that my kids my daughter thinks of something else, but the grandkids impacts on both of them. Now, and so this way, sometimes grandparents don't do anything because they don't want to be the bad guys. But then again, they're reinforcing bad behavior.
Yeah, I've been hanging around this community with parents a long time, and I remember when I had to talk to parents a lot about being, kind of less firm, that they needed to kind of lighten up. And now it's like I end up really a lot needing to talk to parents about being more firm because we're tired. We're tired and it's hard to put that energy in. But kids can learn if you are more often than not paying attention to them and interacting with them, and you're predictable and reliable. Kids can learn to adjust to differences in discipline techniques if you have a relationship with them.
I think so. I think and these types of ideas can work at all ages.
Yep, that's exactly right. And the Discipline That Works group, Wednesday nights, 6 to 7:30 at Lassen View. That's what we do. Is we basically provide a place for parents to support one another, take care of their own needs, think ahead about what kinds of approaches they want to do when the inevitable 2-year-old or 3-year-old or 15-year-old is defiant or, you know, kind of doesn't want to cooperate.
You know, it's, I think that, you know, the older they are, the tougher it is. I mean, when they're 3, you can still duct tape them to their bed.
Yeah, right.
I mean, that works. Okay, I'm just kidding. Before you show up with the politically correct police, the PCPs. So, you know, I think this is great. Okay, now, when's it going to be? It's every Wednesday, right?
Yep, every Wednesday night at Lassen View School in Reading. It's at 705 Loma Vista, and it's in room 19. Anybody with questions can call me. I'm Jeannie Jacobs. We're at 225-0350. I should say, all of this is free. Any parenting support, the parenting group, and which is for parents of children of all ages, and then everything else we do with 0 to 5, it's free.
What kind of feedback have you had?
You know, we do statistics every year where we look at kind of what parents say about their relationship with their child when they start with us, and then they receive usually brief support. And we parents are just, and teachers are just really grateful and basically end up feeling way more competent.
So teachers can come in there and yep. then and get these. Well, that's a good idea for the young children.
Yeah, teachers and child care providers are a really important part of a child's team.
Well, that they see, yeah, because now they're seeing the teachers more than they're seeing their family.
Often,
and
yep.
you know, we have our one of our sales staff here. Came to work with us, took a cut in pay, because she wasn't seeing her kids.
Yeah.
And now she can see her kids. She can be there for her birthday.
Yeah.
And it means a lot more. And she's just doing a great job here because she's very happy. And where at her last job, even though she was making a lot of money, she wasn't happy because her kids were saying, I don't see you, Mommy. And, mm-hmm. you know, now they have the special days, mm-hmm. you know, like you're talking about, where they can sit down and spend a lot of time. And you can't, you know, you can never get that back. And unfortunately, when I grew up, it was the daddy worked, mom stayed home.
Yeah.
And that's the way it was. And then it started kind of changing. My daughter was very fortunate. She was able to stay home for the first 7 years of the children. Before then, she went back. But are you saying there's somebody on the line? Did you get my message here about 8:05?
Oh. I thought you said 5 till 8. I'll tell her to call back.
Please call. Yeah, have her call back 5 after 8. And we give more time that way because I need to finish this segment. Okay, sorry guys. All right, this is going to happen every Wednesday. And do you have other things you're doing for people?
We do.
I mean,
I'm
sure you do. I mean, you're over here at Health and Human Services, right?
We do. We're with the Shasta County Office of Education, and basically what we do, and it sounds too simple to work, but it does. What we do is we partner closely in a supportive relationship with the people who spend their time with little kids. If you've been around 5-year-olds, 4-year-olds, 2-year-olds very long, teenagers too, by the way, you know that it's exhausting. It's just tiring. And it's easy to sort of get in a pattern where you're approaching discipline and kind of trying to shoot from the cuff. And it doesn't work as well that way. It's too important. You have to put some thought in advance into how you want to approach it. And when parents have been working all day, I mean, I get it. I'm a working parent too. You come home, you don't want to be in a big old fight with your child because they won't clean up their room. But it's a fight you might need to do in the big picture. So sort of working with the parents' own feelings, the child care provider's stresses, and kind of thinking thoughtfully about how to approach children.
Okay. Kimberly, you're sitting here smiling.
Well, I think it's a fabulous program. I love working with Jeannie as her intern and working with the families. And the research shows that when the parent-child relationship improves, then the child's behavioral problems dissipate and sometimes go away altogether. So I love seeing the parent-child relationship improve, and we chart that and have stats on that, and it really does make a difference in both the parent's life and the children's lives.
And we know, too, that there's just really solid research that when you invest in the 0 to 5 age range, and we find this, really brief interventions, really brief help mm-hmm. makes a difference for these kids all the way up through adulthood.
Okay. Now, tell us again when it is.
Discipline That Works parent group is every Wednesday night at Lassen View School, which is at 705 Loma Vista, room 19. It's free. There's free childcare, and it's every Wednesday night.
Not only that, but it's not just parents. It's grandparents.
Yep.
It's teachers,
childcare providers. And it's
grandparents. So, you know, it doesn't have to be toddlers we're talking about. It could be anywhere up to, as long as they're at your house.
That's right.
All right. Hey, thanks a lot for coming in here today, Jeannie and Kimberly, as usual. And we'll be back with Reading Police Chief Rob Poletti. We're going to talk crime. We're going to talk about illegal camps. We're going to talk about it all. We'll be right back.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. Several Syrian human rights groups have now issued a dramatic appeal calling on the world to save the embattled Syrian Kurdish town of Kobani from falling into the hands of Islamic State group fighters.
Put politics aside, it's very sad that the Turkish government, basically, or the Turkish forces, stand by and watch basically the systemic destruction of Kobani while doing nothing, almost nothing, about basically helping the besieged Kurdish town.
And that is the voice of Fawaz Gurgis. He is a Middle East studies expert at the London School of Economics. He says Turkey is a key right now to Kobani's defense. And the groups all say that the fighting has displaced close to 300,000 people, leaving the area fearing killings and executions at the hands of ISIS. Meanwhile, do you recognize the voice of this man?
You can see them now digging their own graves in the very place where
the FBI is asking for help from the public to identify Americans who have traveled overseas or were known to be planning travel to become fighters for terrorist groups like this man who appeared in an ISIS video. Leaders are urging calm when it comes to the Ebola outbreak in Dallas, though a lot of anxious people as they're concerned about the possibility of the virus spreading. North Park Presbyterian Church pastor Brent Berry says a lot of people in his Dallas neighborhood are worried.
We become very fearful, and what we keep telling people is our doctors are being their very best selves trying to fight Ebola, and let's be our very best selves in trying to fight the fear and any sort of stigmatization that might be out there.
Americans Eric Betzig and William Moore, along with a German scientist, won the Nobel Prize in Chemistry for improving microscopes. The Royal Swedish Academy of Sciences says the work of the three has vastly improved what scientists can see and understand about tiny particles. On Wall Street, the Dow is struggling now, down about 30 points, and this is SRN News.
You have a family member who's getting older and can no longer be safely left alone? With Visiting Angels, America's Choice in Senior Home Care, your parents and older family members can continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Experienced, compassionate caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meal preparation, and light housework up to 24 hours per day at affordable rates. To restore your family's peace of mind, call Visiting Angels toll-free today at 877-374-LIVE or at visitingangels.com.
At Mathnasium, we make math make sense. Your child will leap ahead, whether they start out way behind or already ahead. It's how we've grown to more than 500 franchise locations. More at Mathnasium.com or call for a free parent pack. 844-799-5999. Learn what Mathnasium can do for your child. 844-799-5999. Mathnasium. We make math make sense.
The Army has awarded $80 million in helicopter contracts to Wall Street executive Lynn Tilton, even as the Justice Department investigates whether she played by the rules to win earlier contracts.
Tilton is the founder of the private equity firm Patriarch Partners, which owns MD Helicopters of Mesa, Arizona, and dozens of other companies. The Justice Department inquiry involves Tilton's hiring of a former Army officer who operated an Army acquisition office in Huntsville, Alabama. The officer allegedly steered millions of dollars in contracts to MD Helicopters while the pair negotiated his future employment.
And that is SRN's Jeremy House reporting. A company that makes aftermarket floor mats for General Motors full-size pickup trucks and SUVs is recalling more than 45,000 of them because they can interfere with the gas pedal. Omix Ada of Sewanee, Georgia, says recall covers Cavella's Custom Fit, Line X truck gear, Rugged Ridge All-Terrain, and Tread Lightly mats. This is SRN News. Tragedy upon hardship in California. Authorities say a pilot is dead after his tanker crashed while fighting a California wildfire near Yosemite National Park. Cal Fire spokeswoman Lynn Tomachoff.
Our badges will be shrouded and flags flown at half staff in honor of this pilot who was doing a tremendous job, as always, in helping the troops.
State Fire spokeswoman Alyssa Smith says that Tuesday night, rescue crews reached the wreckage of the crash and confirmed the pilot's death several hours after the plane went down. A lot of people missed it, but there was a total eclipse of the moon early this morning. Depending on cloud cover, North Americans had prime viewing early today of the full lunar eclipse. It was visible across Australia, much of Asia. Was appearing orange and red in some places. If you missed this latest eclipse, there will be two more scheduled for next year. More details at SRNnews.com. From Washington, I'm Bob Agnew.
The news was brought to you this hour on AM 1460 by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Now accepting Anthem Blue Cross, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. It is 8:05 in the morning. 605-4567 is our phone number. We're streaming live at KCNR1460.com. Join our chat room, Sonny and Angel and everybody in there, Joe and all. We're going to have Reading Police Chief Rob Pletty is in the studio. We're going to be joining the chief here in a second. Weather right now is, 63 degrees?
It's warmed up to about 65. It's warming up rather quickly this morning.
It's going to be a good day.
But it's going to peak out at only mid-90s.
Mid-90s. Okay, it's going to be good. I think on Saturday it's going to be down in the 80s or Friday. Weather's always brought to you by Shasta Gas Propane. It's cool to be a Shasta Gas customer. Locally owned and operated, senior and veteran discounts. Give Chuck and his people a call at 365-3793. Let's go to the phones. Dr. Pam Akuta. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
You know, we're fine. I'm sorry we had a little mix-up before, but you know what? You've got a great event coming here this weekend.
You are absolutely right. I'm super excited about this.
Well, so am I. And I tell you, tell the people about Code Black.
Code Black, as a military term, it's used to signify internal disaster. Code Black, the movie that we are bringing to the Cascade Theater this Saturday evening at 7 o'clock, was filmed entirely at L.A. County's ridiculously busy emergency department. It highlights the challenges of providing excellent health care to all comers. In other words, emergency departments never close, and we see 100% of the people who come in. Sometimes our facilities and our backups are completely saturated, and we are in Code Black. That is the message of the movie, or that's one of the things brought out in the movie. I additionally, though, want to send the message that we need to be aware of the challenges so that we can better address some of these problems.
Well, and we're going to have one of the people that was in it, I believe, is going to be on our it's going to be on our program Friday.
We're going to be talking
about it. And this is going to be
Dr. Nate Parker.
Right, Dr. Parker. And, you know, this thing, too, it's talking about the change in health care. And I believe that was part of when I was reading about this, because we're really excited about this movie, because it's as close to combat as you're going to get, you know, with the work they're doing and how it changed when, you know, with different things changing there.
That is a good comparison.
Well, you know, we used to send, before all the war started, the never-ending war, we used to send our doctors from Camp Pendleton to L.A. to work in the emergency room, because they would get a lot of training in knife stabbings, gunshots, major traumas that they wouldn't get on the base, because the base is a relatively quiet place there, you know, and so they had to train them someplace.
Yes, and I'll tell you, the real world is no place for sissies.
Okay, now when's this going to start?
It starts at 7 o'clock, Cascade Theater. Okay. It's a fundraiser. Right. We are fortunate to have some fabulous sponsors, so generous, including Market Street Steakhouse. They are donating 15% of their evening sales. So even if your listeners are not available or can't go to the showing, they can still support by going to dinner at Market Street Steakhouse.
Great. Is there any place they can get some more information about this, Doctor?
Absolutely. There is. There are two ways. One is codeblackmovie.com. That is the website for the movie itself. We locally have a Facebook page. It is Code Black Reading 2014. And if you like us on Facebook, you'll get updates every day. There are opportunities to win tickets daily. And as a matter of fact, I think that we have some for your show.
I think you do. We're gonna give those away this week. So this is codeblackreading.com.
Code Black Reading 2014.
Oh, Reading 2014.
Yes, sir.
And that's on Facebook.
Yes, it is.
I'm just writing all this down so we can keep pushing this. You know, Doctor, thank you so much. This is a great event, and if you've got a chance to go to this, it's going to start at 7 p.m. on Saturday at the Cascade Theater. There's going to be a lot of stuff going on there. It is a fundraiser, but the movie itself is it's won awards. It's real. It's realism there.
It is not prettied up.
It is not. Okay, Doctor, thank you so much for taking the time to give us a call.
Thank you.
And we're going to have, like we said, the doctor from this is going to be on the show Friday. So we'll be able to talk about that, and we'll be giving away tickets that day.
Awesome.
Great.
Thank you so much, Carl.
Well, thank you. Thank you for
have
what
a great
you
day.
Do. You bet. Okay. Speaking of combat, here's Doctor.
Doctor, you
the Doctor of Combat.
Reading
Police
Chief. I
didn't
go back
Rob
to school.
Okay. Okay. I was there at the City Hall, not City Hall, but the Town Hall meeting. It was extremely great. We had thousands there. I mean, and I don't think that's being, maybe not tens of thousands. I didn't say that. But we had 750 people in there, and at least that many turned away, and maybe more, and plus people listening, people being tweeted to, people listening on our station and all this. So it reached a lot of people. A lot of people came down there, a lot of good ideas, a lot of things were said. We had the leaders and law enforcement. You got the leaders, you had all the leaders and law enforcement there. All right. And that was in July.
July.
And immediately we saw the bike patrol.
Mm-hmm.
Downtown Reading Business Association. Popped for a couple bikes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the board of that, and that was easy to do. I was also trying to mount rocket launchers on them, but I was voted down. Well, really, in fact, I wasn't voted down. It was just we couldn't figure out which ones to put on there before your guys took it. And then, of course, the self-aiming paint guns, so that as things happen, it would automatically go over and pop a bad guy with a paintball so you could identify him later. But one of the things I've said is, what else has happened? I mean, we're still turning people loose. At the same rate of 300 a month, and I went on from there. So what else has happened? And when I said this to Kurt Starman, Kurt immediately goes, "Well, there's been a lot happening." He says, "But you need to talk to Rob." And of course, I knew you were coming on, and you're sitting here with a whole bunch of stuff. Okay, so what has happened since then that we've taken a bite out of Mr. Crime?
Well, what I thought I'd do is I'd just kind of work my way down the course of action plan that I gave
Good.
To the City Council.
Great.
The first item on that list was trying to secure the funding to continue our four cops grants positions. We have four positions that are on a federal grant. That actually the money ran out about 4 to 5 months before the end of this two-year budget cycle. The Reading Police Department actually secured about $485,000 of unanticipated grant funding in year one of a two-year budget. We also came in just over $500,000 under budget. Due to our fiscal responsibility. So we actually brought our year one budget in about almost $1 million under budget. Council has, at the mid-year budget review, approved carrying those funds from year one to year two. So we've secured those four positions until we go into the next budget cycle. So we're going to stay at 98 sworn positions. So that's a positive. The bike patrol started in July. We got two bikes donated by the Downtown Reading Business Association, which was a huge help. But we've also augmented that with some overtime for the all-terrain motorcycles, and we've taken a very strong stance against the violations being created by the transients. Since that time, we've issued over 350 citations to transients for alcohol in the parks, illegal camping in the parks, alcohol in public spaces.
Smoking. I heard you got one of them on smoking, too.
Smoking in the parks is illegal. And so, you know, we've been taking really kind of a zero-tolerance stance to those actions.
Outstanding. And I love that. We've got to take a break here. What happens if we give them a ticket? It obviously bothers the transients when this happens. You give them a ticket. But what happens after that?
Well,
let's talk about that as soon as we get back, okay? Because I think that's important, too. But you are on a real push against them. I know that we had talked about this before. Mm-hmm. I know your guys are out there coming in early to go out and push. All right. Hey, Reading Police Chief Rob Pelletti is our guest. We'll be right back after these messages. Carl and Linda Bott, if you've got a question for the chief, now's the time to ask him. 605-4567. We're talking about taking a bite out of crime. We're talking about taking on these illegal camps and getting rid of them. We'll be right back. All the old paintings on the tomb, they do the stand dance, don't you know?
I've spent the last year walking through neighborhoods and learning about the issues Reading residents care most about. I promise to fight to keep our neighborhoods safe and strong. Thank you for your support.
This is Mark Story, CEO of Haven Humane Society. The heat is upon us, and I wanted to remind everyone of how hot it can get in a car or the back of a pickup for our pets. If you see any unattended animals in cars in the heat, please call Haven Humane Animal Regulations at 241-2550 so we can help.
Proof that kindness is the best medicine. The 2013-2014 Consumer Choice Award. If you're looking for a hospital with a proven track record for community preference, you don't have to look far. Mercy Medical Center Reading has received National Research Corporation's Consumer Choice Award for 7 consecutive years. Because providing health care with kindness means everyone wins. Learn more at reading.mercy.org. Hello, human kindness.
Northern California Event Services can help you plan your wedding or next special event. From caterers to photographers, DJs to hair and makeup, Northern California Event Services has your event needs covered, and you can see for yourself at ncescanhelp.com. And check out featured vendors like Glam Squad Elite, a mobile hair and makeup team that will glam you up wherever you need us to be. Check them out and many more at ncescanhelp.com.
He said he loved his newly purchased travel trailer until he towed it. Now I hate it because it swayed and shimmied so badly it shook the truck. Don Steck for Coachmaster Collision Repair. Our inspection revealed the rear axle was tracking straight ahead, but the front axle was pointed 1/2 inch to the left. The axles were working against each other for direction of travel, a dangerous condition. We corrected the tracking so both axles worked together. When the owner came to get his trailer, we asked him to call us after he had towed the trailer. Customer satisfaction is important. He called later and said, "It felt like a different trailer. It's perfect. I love it again." Coachmaster is a complete body and paint shop featuring the largest frame machine in Northern California, utilizing laser beams and 3D imaging for accuracy. Computerized paint matching too, of course. Reading, California.
For the 9th Annual Reading Silent Film Festival, October 17th and 18th at Old City Hall in downtown Reading. Enjoy a tribute to 100 years of Charlie Chaplin, perfect for kids and families. These movies are real 16mm films shown to the live musical interpretation of Frederick Hodges of San Francisco. For pricing and details, visit ShastaArtsCouncil.org or call 241-7320 for tickets.
KCNR, 1460 AM, the most local programming in Northern California.
Just take those old records off the shelf.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl on the bot. Good morning, my friends. It is 8:18 in the morning, 65 degrees out there. Today is going to be a great day. This portion of the show brought to you by Alliance Heating and Air. Hey, give them a call at 221-2642, and I'll tell you why. You know, it's the season is getting cooler now, but now it's going to get cold
How is your heating system working? Is it working up to snuff? Is your duct, are your ducts there? Are they clean? Are your filters clean? All of this needs to be checked by Alliance Heating and Air. 20 years of service to our community, and they treat everybody almost like their family. Again, 221-2642, or check out their website at homecomfort.org. Our guest is Reading Police Chief Rob Pelletti, and we're talking about the strides have been taken since the town hall meeting. Of course, we've talked about the bikes on patrol, and then the all-terrain motorcycles. And now you're pushing them. You're giving out how many tickets and citations?
359 since the town hall meeting,
and that was July.
Yeah, and the officers have really kind of picked this up. And one of the things that I figured out is, you know, when we started the homeless outreach project, which we'll talk about a little bit too, I kind of told them that we're going to take a little softer approach. So, you know, the officer that goes out with the eligibility worker and the mental health workers and the rescue mission and goes and makes contact, we wanted them to, unless there's an obvious crime that's taken place, you know, you're there to support and try to be a little bit softer in the approach. What I figured out is that, you know, there was a misinterpretation, and kind of the whole department thought we meant softer approach. So we've had to correct a little bit of a messaging problem, and told the officers that's that officer 2 days a week. If there's an illegal activity, we're going to take action on that illegal activity. So, you know, the whole department, I mean, the motors came in on their own.
That probably explains the motor officer was hugging a homeless guy on the corner and was actually giving him money. So that must have been part of that softer thing they didn't understand.
Yeah, well, let's be clear. Carl's joking. The motors came in on their own in the mornings. They issued 26 citations for illegal camping in the parks during closed hours in 2 hours. The officers really, you know, stepped up that enforcement for that illegal activity. So in conjunction with that,
well, after they give the tickets to these people,
uh-huh,
because how many of them have – do most of them have ID?
They do. The problem is, are they going to show up to court?
Right.
Are they going to pay a fine? Probably not.
Right.
They can get a warrant after that. If they actually show up to court, we can get them in. They can work that out through the alternative work program through the sheriff's department.
But they're not going to show up.
But they're not. The fact of the matter is, they don't like talking to the police, and they don't like getting those citations. And a lot of the responses we've got from this group that's conducting this illegal activity is, I'm sick of this and we're leaving. So
maybe at that time you should hand them a card, and there should be that fund says, want to leave? Here's the money.
Well, that's we've been talking about a bus program. One of the things that the homeless outreach group, and I'm still trying to get all the statistics that we've compiled together so that I can share those at the town hall meeting November 13th. The town hall meeting on November 13th is going to take a little bit different format. It's going to be kind of a dual meeting. So we've got 28 booths open that will be open to vendors that have a crime prevention portion of their business, locksmiths, security companies, safe companies, so that the citizens can come in at 5 o'clock and mill around and look at those booths and see what's available to help harden that target.
And what's that going to be?
November 13th at the Civic Auditorium. And then at 7 o'clock, it's going to shift, and April LaFrance and her group of the Safe City Project is going to do a presentation on some of the research that they've done into different strategies that may be implemented within the city of Reading that would help from a public safety aspect. The nice thing is that her focus isn't just on the police department, it's on total public safety. So I've been meeting with her and her group, and I think they're going to have some good ideas they'll present that evening, and then we'll talk. I'll be there, of course, to answer any questions that like I normally am.
Okay, so November 13th at the Civic Auditorium, there's going to be 28, 29 vendors in there on how to harden your home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you and I have talked about this for how long, buddy? Since you've been here?
2.5. Well, I'll be 3 years in November.
3 years in November. And I talked to it with Pete Hansen before that. And I talked to it to the sheriff about hardening your home to make the guy go to the next – I hate to say this. Make him go next door, you know, if they're going to come in and hit your house. You know, but frankly, I would just love to be able to open up and leave my house open.
Absolutely.
As everybody would. And having – but we've come to the point where, yeah, you do need to harden your house.
Yeah. It's just not the reality anymore. And, you know, there's some other things that are coming that I'll talk about after I go through the course of action plan that I think are going to be detrimental to public safety that are coming out of Sacramento that need to be addressed. But let me get through this real quick. You know, I'll try to get those homeless statistics. Jessica Delaney, the Homeless Continuum of Care, are compiling those statistics, and we'll be able to present those at that meeting. But we've also taken on a large community policing project. We have about 30 encampments behind the Masonic Temple, and we have a huge project. We went and posted it the other day. We have to give them their time frame to move their valuables out. But
is that city property?
It's city and private property, but we have consent to enforce, and we have everything we need to be able to go in there. We're going to use that model to start attacking other of the major places. Another one is Mercy Canyon.
Well, I need to keep breaking in on you.
Go ahead.
Because I need to make some of these things clear. Public property, i.e. City-owned property, 7-day, got to give them a 7-day
warning. 7 to 10 days, yes.
I have personal property out there. I own it. It's 2 acres. I say, look, I'm giving you permission. You don't need to give them 7 days.
Yes, I do.
Why?
If I clean it up as a government entity, you don't have to give them if you go clean it up.
Good. So then – are you also finding out who owns this property? That, you know, and are you putting pressure on? Or are you giving them saying, "Okay, I'm going to give you a chance. I'll clean it up, but if you don't give me permission, then you're going to clean it up, and I'm going to fine you if you don't."
One of the things that we found, especially with the Mercy Canyon Group, and there's a couple citizens in the Indian Hill subdivision that have been going through the frustrating process of trying to, you know, clean that area up, and it is a frustrating process. The Mercy Canyon is a little bit different than the Masonic, because the Masonic area, there's city-owned property and there's just a couple of owners. Mm-hmm. If you look at Mercy Canyon, there's 29 different parcels down there, roughly 29 different owners of all those parcels.
Wow.
There's no subdivision down in there, so there's no property lines. There's no addresses. There's no roads. So in order for us, if we get a consent to enforce from one, then we actually have to take a GPS with latitude, longitude to make sure that we're on this right parcel before we take any enforcement. It's just a nightmare. They haven't got a lot of response from the letters that go out from code enforcement. So what we did, I worked with Nick Bundy, and I sent letters from the chief saying, you have a transient problem on your property. Here's what you need to do to allow us to help you, and here's the consent to enforce. So we got a lot of those back and a lot better response when it comes from the chief. There's actually a large property with an out-of-town owner up off of Oasis Road between Redding and Shasta Lake City. There's transients in there. They're gold mining. They're doing all kinds of stuff that's creating havoc for the
– gold mining.
I guess they've been watching Gold Rush. So the code enforcement, David Kehoe, people have met with this owner and got no response. I sent him one letter.
A local guy?
He's out of Fresno. I sent him one letter. And he drove from Fresno and gave us a consent to enforce. So what we want to do is take this model that we're using with the Masonic, and it's community groups. It's the homeless outreach group has gone through there and offered assistance to every single one of those transients prior to being tagged. And now we're going to go through in the next week or so and do a massive cleanup.
Okay. Let's go to the phones. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Do you have a comment?
Hey, I just wanted to call. I just wanted to call and let people know, you know, I've lived in this town for 45 years, and, you know, we couldn't ask for a better man to take over the police force, especially somebody that's lieutenant colonel in our gracious army. You know, to run these guys around, I mean, when you have such a small fleet of guys to protect us, and, you know, and I'll tell you people out there that, you know, Mr. Pelletti had no family life because he's out protecting us. And I just want to take my hat off to him. And, I mean, he's worth every darn penny and more to me as far as to make my family safe out here. You know, we've got all those criminals being let out of prison right now, dumped out in our town. He's overwhelmed by that, but yet he's still handling it. And yet he's still taking care of it. And yet he's still making us safe. So, you know, I just tell the people, as a civilian out there, you know, Honor this guy here for what he's doing. I mean, because he's taken on a big, big job here in this town. Our town's grown, and like he was saying, there's tons of transients out there, and most of them are out there on the street. I've even tried to get them to go give them a ride to the mission. They don't want to, and they're young. They just don't want to work. The society has changed, and he's just trying to clean it up out there, and we should stand behind him 100%.
Okay, Chris, thanks a lot for your comments.
All right, God bless you.
Okay, do you have his address? Well, you know what? Here's the thing, and we're going to talk about this in the next half hour, too, about some of these new, this new proposition to turn loose all these offenders that Sheriff Basenko has written about. I think it's 45.
Proposition 47.
47.
There's a new definition of recidivism that is very detrimental.
That right there is, when you told me about that the other day, I just, you know, I said, you know what, where are we going? We're going straight to hell here. Here's a question from somebody that says, look, if it's illegal for them to be in the parks at night, are we pushing them out at night? Are we? Why are we letting them stay there?
Well, we are, and that's what a lot of those citations are for. And I brought a list. I came prepared today, but I've got a list here, and we're citing them for things like after hours in the parks.
Okay, but then
smoking in the park. Now,
after you give them that, do you just tell them to leave?
Yeah, they got to leave.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, absolutely. And the motors, the traffic officers, you know, coming in early is more so that we can get it cleared out, so the average citizen can go down and enjoy the park without fear. You know, when you talk about public safety, part of our mission is to improve the quality of life. Well, justified or not, whether they're committing crimes or not, these transient makes people feel uncomfortable. And that damages the average citizen's quality of life. And we're trying to take enforcement action so that they can enjoy the parks and the river trails and other things that this community is known for and that we love about it.
Okay, just a minute before we go. There was a stabbing on the river trail, 11 o'clock at night, and I commented about it. I said, you're probably pretty safe unless, you know, you're down there 11 o'clock at certain areas. But this is transient on transient.
It looks like it, yes.
And so... That kind of thing is when we talk about safe on the trails. There's still those groups of animals out there.
Absolutely, and that's why we've been getting, you know, paying overtime for the officers that want to take it, and they're taking it, and we're hitting the river trails on the ATMUs. We're hitting the parks on the all terrain motorcycles, and really doing a big enforcement push on the illegal activities of the transients.
Great, you know, frankly, I've stopped using the term homeless anymore. I use illegals. And you're using transient camps. I'm using illegal camps. If they're down there, they're illegal.
Well, really what we want to do is take that Masonic model that we've used and then move to Mercy Canyon and then move to the Oasis Road and get the big camps with more of a consolidated, large effort.
But let's take a break. Let's talk a little bit about that, because after you move them, if you move them from one, do they go to the other?
Yes, they do.
And so, frankly, we need like three times as many organizations helping at the same time, so you hit them all at one time.
Yeah, that would be great. I don't have the resources.
I know you
for that,
don't.
So we're going to keep kind of leapfrogging along.
There is where when we start talking about additional policemen and additional work out there. Oh, we don't have a place to put them, but there's ways of if you hit all these illegal camps at one time, then you can move them, and at that point they can't move into another area with the subculture they have. We'll be right back. Carl Bott, Linda Bott, and we have with us Reading Police Chief Rob Plenty.
I remember when I lost my mind. There was something so pleasant about that place. Even your emotions had an echo.
Hello, my name is Kristen Schrader. I was born and raised here in Reading. I went to local schools and raised a family with my husband, Jack. I'm running for city council because I'm prepared to make Reading the place our community desires and deserves. I'll bring new jobs to Reading, make sure our city is safe, and maintain our infrastructure. I've been endorsed by the Reading Peace Officers Association, Reading Firefighters Association, and the Shasta Builders Exchange. On November 4th, vote for me, Kristen Schrader. I'll get things done. Paid for by Kristen Schrader for City Council 2014.
At Pulse Urgent Care, their goal is to get you in and out quickly. Pulse Urgent Care is open 7 days a week in their newly expanded facility from 10 a.m. till 8 p.m., providing care for the entire family, from infants to great-grandparents. If you suffer from allergies, visit newly expanded Pulse Urgent Care today for short-term allergy relief. For more information, call 722-1111 or walk in to Pulse Urgent Care on Hilltop Drive across from Kmart in Reading. Pulse Urgent Care says if it's urgent to you, it's important to us.
Beginning October 1st, the KCNR 1460 daily lineup changes with Laura Ingram from 9 a.m. to noon. Then, noon to 3, America's favorite financial and political analyst, Dave Ramsey, with one of the highest rated programs on the radio today. Mark Levin will remain at 3 to 6, followed by Dennis Miller and Roger Hedgecock. KCNR 1460 with Nate Arborea on sports and more local programming than anyone else in Northern California. KCNR 1460, the pulse of the North State.
Hi folks, Bob Dunlap, Shasta County Veteran Service Officer. If you've served in the active duty of the armed forces and are impaired because of an accident, injury, or exposure to hazardous substance, you may be eligible for compensation from the Department of Veterans Affairs. The compensation program is your country's way of honoring your service and sacrifice by providing financial assistance to bridge the gap between what you are able to earn now and what you could have earned if you were not impaired. VA compensation claims could be as simple as a hearing loss claim to a very complex muscular, skeletal, or neurological disorder. Be wary of individuals who offer assistance with your VA claims, especially those who ask you to pay for VA claims assistance. Your Shasta County Veterans Service Office is here to help. We're accredited, and there's never a charge for our services. For more information on how we can help, please call us at 225-5616.
Hi, Mark Story here to let you know that Haven Humane Society is taking great pride in serving the pet population and pet owners in the community. As CEO of Haven Humane, I invite everyone to check out our new adoption center and all the programs we have in place to help the animals in our care find their forever homes. And our spay-neuter clinic is also here to offer those families on a fixed income pet vaccinations and spay and neuter services. Contact Haven Humane at 241-1653 or visit us East Side Road off of 273.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 with Carl and DeBod. It is 8:34 in the morning, 66 degrees out there today. It's going to be a beautiful day out there in the 90s. The portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, right off Athens Avenue across from the subway there, DC Tim and the Man in Black. I understand the other day a young lady came in there and said she wanted a haircut. And so we don't do girls' haircuts. She said, I want a man haircut. And he did a great job. Tim did. And so, but you know what? You just love to hear that. And the discounts for seniors and veterans, it's man's last stronghold right there. Cypress Square Barbershop. I love going in there. My guest is Reading Police Chief Rob Poletti. We're talking about what's happened since the town hall meeting. There's been a lot of movement, and I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, when we hit these, you know, the one thing that's keeping you from really pushing this out, really pushing out and getting to the illegal camps, and because they've caused, you know, fires. I mean, they're talking about there's a subculture going on there. There's drugs. There's, you know, frankly, I think there's probably in some of these camps, you've got your alpha male, and he's running like his own fiefdom there. And,
absolutely.
And women and men and kids, and if kids are there, and all of this. So what's it going to take just to clean them all out at one time?
Well, it would take
– I mean, just, to move them all at one time.
Yeah, it would take the overtime dollars to have the staffing level to do that all in one day, and plus the – you know, we get alternative work program people from the sheriff that help do the community cleanups. But, you know, some of it would be, you know, the manpower to just go and do the cleanup itself while the officers do the security. So kind of like something like you do with the river trail cleanups. But, you know, I think that if we use the model that we use behind the Masonic and then we replicate that in Mercy Canyon and the other, and we can keep them moving, then they see that, you know, people know where they're not welcome. And even they will move on. They've had a little bit of an easy time here, and we're going to try to change that.
So we can try and change it. And I would like to see the city council roll into this one, too, with some new ordinances that you've been talking. I know you've tried to get those ordinances.
No,
but I tell you what, before we get into that, we've got somebody on the phone.
Okay.
Terry, good morning.
Good morning, Chief. Good morning, Carl.
Morning, Terry.
How you doing, Terry?
Anyway, I want to echo what that gentleman said before. Rob, you've done a great job.
Thank you, Terry.
And you know, there's nobody who probably has been a little more tougher on you and asking questions than myself, but you've done a really, really good job.
Thank you, Terry.
And in saying that, this town hall that's going to happen on the 13th, Sal and I won't be able to be there. We'll be with Sheriff Mack and Clive and Bundy and Mark Baird at Paul Preston's Liberty Tour that he's having in Yuba City, so we won't be able to be here. But, you know, the thing is that we should have probably a town hall with the city council and the board of supervisors, because no matter what you and Tom do, they're the ones who are holding the purse strings, and maybe see if they'll be accountable to the public. And because you guys go in there and you answer a lot of tough questions, but I mean, they're the ones with the purse strings. So how come they're not doing a town hall and getting a joint effort for the jail, helping you guys out with different things? I know you and Patrick have worked on this community force that you're looking at. That's where I think we should go as far as some kind of meeting is really with the people who pay the bills.
Well, you know, I work for them, not the other way around.
Yes, sir,
so,
that's right.
You know, I'm going to continue with the initiatives that I've started. And, you know, I do the town hall meetings for a couple of reasons. I want people to have access to the chief without having to schedule appointments and other things. It's an open forum to have community discussions about what's going on and to try to be very open with the community. I told Kurt Starman when he hired me that you know, I'm blunt and I'm honest. So I want to give people what the truth is at the time.
Sure.
So that they get, you know, it unfiltered through the media or anyone else and straight from me. And that's really I can't force anyone else to do it, but at the same time, I'm going to continue to be out there every quarter, as many people that want to show up, and I'll continue to take those tough questions and be honest with people about what's going on.
Terry,
sure, and it really
Terry,
shouldn't be your place anyway. It should be their place to volunteer and say, okay, we'll do a town hall, so we'll answer those tough questions. And I'll bet if we made some phone calls to a few of those guys as a community, they would get together and do that and maybe find that funding somewhere.
Terry, I think that you would find it very difficult to get them on the stage. Because every time I said you're going to find it very difficult to get them on a stage in front of the public. Mm-hmm. It's been brought up to them before. And the fact is this is the last thing they want to do is get in front of a crowd of 750 or 1,000 people and explain what's going on and what have they done. Because
well,
I think you're going to find that it's not a lot. Oh, I think they should be. I think that the first step was getting – well, I'm saying is that they should. And you're saying they should. And probably everybody else is saying they are should. So – are they going to do it?
Make a phone call.
Well, I have, Terry, and you can make calls and you can write letters, but to see if you can get the board of supervisors and the city council on the dais at one time, good luck. And I'm not saying it's not going to happen, but it has. Phone calls have been made, and other people have talked to them about it. And to try and get them all in at one time, it could happen someday. But they are the ones that should be answering these questions because
they are.
You know, Tom Basenko and Rob Paletti are working. Well, Tom's a little bit different, but working under the guy and under what these people are saying a lot of times. Anyway, okay, Terry, thanks a lot.
So the new ordinances you brought up, we have there were three ordinances really that we talked about: a sit lie ordinance, a handing objects from a vehicle to a person standing on the road, and then standing in the medians. One of the things that we've had intense discussion about is making sure that these ordinances point towards a purpose and a safety. The problem that I had with the sit lie ordinance before is that it was specifically written to focus on transient activity, and I was afraid of some constitutional challenges to that. The city of Monterey just passed a sit lie ordinance, and the one that was modeled before was taken from Chico. I just got the one from Monterey, and I said, well, because I've been looking at this ordinance and trying to creatively rewrite it so that it would meet, you know, the constitutional guidelines. And I got the one from Monterey saying, okay, now I have another model, and it reads exactly like the one from Chico. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But to me, it still sounds like it's focused on just the homeless population, and all of our laws have to equate evenly to everybody. The median one, I hope, will go before the council. No standing on the medians. Will go before the council sometime in October, at the first meeting in October. The next meeting in October. Sorry,
okay.
I'm getting
right.
My month screwed up. But hopefully this month. And what that does is that's just from a safety perspective. But it will apply equally to everybody. We also looked at the one where people stop and hand things out of the vehicle. I don't know that we really need that because there was a court challenge to a ordinance like that in another city in California. And the California Supreme Court basically said, you know, you're infringing on a right here when you already have a law that addresses this, and that's impeding the flow of traffic in the California Vehicle Code. So I think we already have a statute to be able to address that. So I don't think we need a city code because we have a vehicle code to be able to address that if they're handing stuff out the window and impeding traffic.
Maybe we need to have signs on a lot of different places that say it's illegal to stop and hand money.
Illegal to impede the flow of traffic,
right?
You
know,
for whatever reason, whether you're driving too slow or your hand is
stuck
out the
window. You put those signs up, I'll bet you within a day they're torn down.
Well, we're looking at some other options there, but I don't think we need an ordinance for that one because there's already a vehicle.
Okay, well, no, that's good. You know, but that just needs to be enforced and have people know this too.
Yeah, well, and that's the challenge, and that's the challenge when you pull the guys off their motorcycles to put them on the bicycles. You know, then we decrease our traffic enforcement at the same time. So, you know, we're trying to find a balance there and trying to focus where we need to focus with the resources we have. I'm kind of going down my thing. The neighborhood watch captains meetings. We had our first neighborhood watch captain meeting. I kind of gave them the status of the police department and started everybody on a baseline because not all of the neighborhood watch captains have been to a town hall meeting. At the next meeting we have coming up with the neighborhood watch meetings, we have Doug Wright is volunteering his time to come in and talk about civil processes that he's an attorney that citizen groups can take about against bad landlords within their communities. Jason Schroeder is coming in to talk about Stand Up Reading. And Jason has turned in a volunteer application to the police department, and I had to beg him, but he wants to be more involved, and he's actually going to be the volunteer neighborhood watch coordinator for the city and tie all the neighborhood watch groups into Stand Up Reading and Reading Crime Watch.
Now, he's the one who's out at Mercy Canyon, was that him?
No, that's Nick Bundy. Okay. Jason Schroeder is in the area that started Stand Up Reading.
Okay. All right.
So he's actually going to become an official volunteer of the police department and become a citywide volunteer organizing neighborhood watch groups because we lost that crime prevention CSO.
Right.
So he's going to take up that role. And so we also have Matt Morgan coming in to show people the neighborhood watch captains, the new Reading Police website that we unveiled yesterday. We got two volunteers, Matt Morgan and Rocky Slaughter, that are web designers and social media experts. They have volunteered their time as volunteers of the police department. They came in and filled out the applications, and they've actually redesigned the Reading Police website. So guess what, folks? Now you can find something on it.
Really?
If you need to find a police report, you can go right to a button on the front that says file a police report. Start a neighborhood watch group. Volunteer at the police department. The new web design, they've done a fantastic job of taking the valuable information that was there before and putting it in a format that people can actually utilize.
A usable thing.
And it also links you, if you push the button, it will link you to our Facebook page where we've been putting out some of the more positive news stories.
You know what they do need to do too? I'm not trying to be self-serving here. They need to link these interviews that you have on with us to that. You know, just do so they can hear the chief talking about things.
That's a good idea.
I mean,
and we can do that through the Facebook page.
Right. And whatever it is, so that, hey, chief was on today, you can hear him, what he's talking about, and the progress since the town hall meeting.
And you can actually go to the Reading Police Facebook page and like that Facebook page and get the news feeds on your Facebook page of the stuff that we're putting out. We put out a press release almost 2 weeks ago on Shasta County's Most Wanted in the one-year progress that we've made. We've arrested 230 people. 88 have been sentenced and served their time. 41 have gone back to prison. We've decreased the number of outstanding warrants in the county by over 100 in the first year of the program. That's good news. Nobody put it on the news. KRCR did on Monday night. So that's the
You're
kind of
getting
stuff,
it here.
That's the kind of stuff that we're feeding out through the Facebook page and other things.
Great. Okay. We're going to take a break. Jason, if you hang on to right after the break, we'll bring you on right after that for your question. Carl Lindebach, KCNR 1460. Our guest is Reading Police Chief Rob Pelletti.
Hello, Frank Muse with Northern Lights Energy. Kathy and I would like to thank all of our customers who pay their bills on time. The delivery drivers are back from the fires and filling a lot of kerosene tanks, so don't wait till winter. Kathy has a lot of 1 gallon to 2.5 gallon propane bottles for all the campers and hunters. They're a lot easier to handle. We are doing a lot more wet hosing on construction sites for those who don't want to worry about fuel on site. Give Danny a call. Kathy and Johnny still have one or two used heaters left. They're going quick. If you need a new gauge or a filter on your kerosene tank, be sure to let us know and we'll bring one out with your next delivery. Northern Lights Energy, Corning, Weaverville, and Reading. Family owned, small business, and great people. Not a lot of answering machines. 241-2196. Thanks a lot.
Northern Lights Energy.
Hi, I'm Patrick Jones, and I'm asking for your vote this November for Reading City Council. We have many important issues facing the city, none more important than public safety. I am meeting weekly with Chief Pelletti to institute a new auxiliary policing program that will help reduce crime before it happens. And this is only the start. I hope you join me this November. Vote Patrick Jones, Reading City Council. Paid for by the Committee to Elect Patrick Jones, 2014.
Hi, this is Patrick Wallner from Wallner Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, your barefoot plumber. Let's talk about water conservation for a moment. With an abundance of lakes, rivers, streams, and creeks, we sometimes forget that we are still in a severe drought. Public and private water districts are now asking for voluntary reduction in water usage, with some districts even charging their customers extremely high prices for using more water than they have historically used over the past few years. Give us a call at 223-5622 or look us up online at wallnerplumbing.com to discuss your water usage and simple ways to help conserve this precious resource.
My name is Mimi Mosley. Growing up, I learned I was responsible for the choices I made. Since moving to Reading, I've seen how my choices can truly make a difference as a small business owner and resident. I'm choosing to vote across party lines to make this important change to our city council. This change will be historic as it betters Reading. I believe Francie Sullivan loves Reading dearly and feels a calling to make the tough changes needed. Francie is always on duty as she encourages small business owners, listens to the concerns of her city, and pushes for a safe Reading. Francie's heart is to launch new jobs as well as bring safety back to our homes. Francie has faithfully managed Reading's resources and commits to continue this hard work. November 4th, the choice is yours, and you are responsible for that choice. I'm choosing to vote for two new city council members to help Francie achieve these goals as we live and work in this great city. My name is Mimi Mosley, and I choose Francie.
I'm Francie Sullivan. I want to make Reading the best place to live, work, and raise a family. Paid for by the committee to elect Sullivan for City Council 2014.
Now, let's return to Carl and Linda Butt at Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. Tomorrow, Brad Long is going to be with us from a Veterans Outreach Center. This portion of the show, since we're talking about being able to make your house just a little bit harder in your car and your person, is brought to you by Bastiani Arms, located at 2539 Larkspur. Classes on concealed carry, classes on protecting yourself. As somebody said the other day, John Bastiani has just got the best in customer service. Always has what the customer needs in stock and at fair prices. During the time you could have bumped prices up, John Bastiani did not do that. Give him a call at 222-8222. John Bastiani at Bastiani Arms. All right, Chief, let's go to the phones. Jason, good morning. You have a question for Chief Pelletti.
Yes, sir, I do. It's actually perfect timing after the commercial break there. As part of Patrick Jones's campaign advertisement, he claims he meets with you weekly to discuss his police auxiliary. Is that true?
Patrick and I have met once. We had a very good meeting to talk about different options. We still have some difference of opinion on how that should go. We had two other meetings scheduled. One of them I had unfortunately had to cancel because it was the day after the sheriff's department had an officer-involved shooting, and we were the lead investigations agency. The second meeting he canceled. I don't know what the facts are for why that was, but we have met once, and it was an amicable meeting.
Okay, that's just checking fact check there. You know, it just seems that he's kind of a contentious person for employees of the city, and just a question I have. Thank
okay,
you.
thanks for the question. Chico has implemented an alert system. People can sign up for alerts. Is this something you are considering?
It's something we're already doing. We've been doing it for about a year now. It's called Nixle. If you go to the Reading Police website and click the Nixle icon, you can sign up for that. It's completely free, and we send out all of our press releases and the alerts that we have or anything else go out over Nixle. You can also sign up for the Reading Police Facebook page, and we'll put out alerts over that as well.
And let me say something about that is we actually got a phone call, and I'm not sure how we were on the list or anything, but we got a phone call a couple of years ago about be on the lookout here because there was somebody in the neighborhood that the police were looking for, and I mean looking for hard.
With
the description of the guy.
Yeah, we have a reverse 911 system. So we can, through Shascom, when we have major events like lockdowns at schools or shootings or other things or major traffic closures due to fatality accidents, we can actually send out in a gridded area and it'll go a phone call to every registered phone home phone. It doesn't go to cell phones yet, but it goes to all the house phones and tells them that there's an alert in their neighborhood, and we use that reverse 911 system quite a bit.
Okay, great. All right. Let's talk about two things that are near and dear to my heart. Is this Proposition 47 has made me crazy. You know what? And frankly, Linda says, look, it's a proposition. I said, it makes me crazy. And she pours cold water on me, and I'm okay for another day. We want to turn loose more of these jerks.
Well, it also has some detrimental effects, and I thought Sheriff Pasenko wrote a great speaker piece
on this the
other day.
You know what, Tom's
going
to be on next Wednesday. You know, frankly, Tom, I applaud you. I mean,
yeah. The Proposition 47 is opposed by the California Police Chiefs Association, California State Sheriff's Association, California State District Attorney's Association.
Is there any law enforcement group that even thinks this is a good idea?
No, it is taking, auto theft. It is taking commercial burglary. It is taking possession of methamphetamine and possession of heroin, turning them all into misdemeanors.
Possession of weapons by a felon.
And since they'll have misdemeanor convictions, they won't be a felon. Therefore, they can still buy guns. So you want dopers having guns. So it's very detrimental. And what they're really trying to do, I mean, if you look at the way it's shaped, they're trying to take school funding and tie it to a decrease in public safety. Well, that's great. Let's have a better school, but let's make it unsafe for the kids to walk to it. It just doesn't make any sense.
The whole thing is wrong. It's wrong. We're up to our butt in bad guys, and they want to turn more loose because this is retroactive from what I understand.
Yes,
right?
It is.
They're going to turn people loose that are in there and been in jail for felonies. Oh, it's no longer a felony. And some of these are sex crimes.
Yes, they are.
So you're going to turn sex crimes,
violations.
Gun violations. Now, are any of these physical assault type things?
Not that I'm aware of. It's mostly property crimes and drug offenses.
But what it does is it changes the rules.
Well, we'll save so much money on incarceration. Well, you know what? Some people just need to be in jail.
Lies, lies, and more lies.
Well, and they're complicating that by the state just passed their new definition of recidivism.
Lies, lies, and even more lies.
What they're doing is they're tying conviction to recidivism. Now, when the Department of Corrections was the purveyor of the recidivism definition, it was if your shoes hit a jail or a prison again, you were a recidivist. Now you want to change the measuring metric to require a conviction. So let me give you an example.
Wait, but the reason they want to do this is to say, oh, look, the system's working when it is not.
They are going to change a measuring metric to artificially lower the recidivism rate, which will allow them to claim success on AB 109. And the Shasta County, based on politics, is already going to take a cut in its AB 109 funding that comes to the county, and they're going to be able to try to manipulate and change the amount of the sales tax increase that is going to fund AB 109, and they're going to try to find a way to finagle that to something else. The other factor they're going to do is try to take money away from enforcement and put it towards more rehabilitation. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. I'm not sure when a criminal became a client and punishment became programs and services. I think we have a duty to give people an opportunity to reform themselves. But if they don't want to reform and rehabilitate, then we need to be able to lock them up.
And drop the hammer.
And right now they are putting more and more stuff into place to damage public safety and our ability to hold people accountable for their bad actions.
The guy you've arrested 15 times.
We arrested a guy 14 times since January for felony property crimes. And under their definition, because he doesn't show up to court to receive a conviction, he is not considered a recidivist. And that is a crock. I'm sorry. I at the California Police Chiefs Board meeting, I yelled at the chairman of the Bureau of State Community Corrections.
What did they say?
I told them that their definition was disingenuous, and that's what they were going to carry to the floor of the state legislature to claim success on AB 109. Her response was that they're not comparing the system before to the system now. And I said, you're not going to have to, because that all you have to do is say recidivism has dropped to 10% or less than 10%. And I've already seen articles in the Sacramento Bee saying so. I'm telling you, they're going to use this to claim success on AB 109 and cut funding for it.
And this takes us to another step, too, is that if Tom sends more people, if Sheriff Pasenko sends more people to the prisons, our system does, he gets paid less money.
Well, you have two funding sources that come from AB 109. You have the primary money that we're guaranteed, and then they have what's called growth funds. The growth funds are those funds that are above and beyond what was anticipated in the budget to come in under that sales tax. They're going – if you violate more people, or you send more people back to prison – sentence people, more people to prison, then you get less of a quotient of that growth fund. That gives an incentive to probation departments throughout the state to not violate people so that their budgets doesn't get cut. And it tells DAs to not send people to prison. And that is it's disingenuous, and it's just the wrong way to do business, in my view.
Well,
on that happy note,
you use the polite term. I say it's crazy.
It's not crazy. I tell you what exactly what it is. It's money. It's money, and they want to tie, and they want to keep siphoning money off from keeping bad guys away. You know what? And I don't care what you say. There is evil out there. There is evil. There are people who do not care about you. They don't care about your kids. They don't care about your property. The only thing they care about is themselves. And they will take care of themselves no matter what it does to anybody else. And so you have to take those people and take them off the street. And if you don't do it, then you've got to live with the consequences. And at some point, this is going to erupt.
I told the chairman that her definition was disingenuous, and it was an artificial lowering of the measure to create a measuring metric to artificially lower the recidivism rate. One of the other chiefs said, "We prefer the term intellectually unsupportable." I said, "Well, I call it dishonest."
How about dumbass? Yeah. How about okay? Anyway, all right. Everybody, take a deep breath. November 13th.
November 13th, next town hall meeting. Check out the new webpage. The guys did Matt Morgan and Rocky Slaughter. It's www.readingpolice.org. Rocky Slaughter and Matt Morgan did a great job helping us out and improving that. They're two really good guys that are really trying to help us make a difference.
Good. You know, I've got one. Burn them at the stake. I'm not sure. She's talking about the government. She's not talking about criminals. Or he is. I'm not sure who this is. I have an idea who it is. I don't know who someone is.
Well, I work for the government, so please clarify who we're going to burn.
And if I say elected politician, I can't say that. The ones down in Sacramento need to live with this. They need to own this. And this is just so incredibly – you know what? I just hope 47 just goes down in flames.
Yeah. On the Bureau of State Community Corrections, when they approved that recidivism definition, the only dissenting vote was the member from the California Police Chiefs.
I cannot believe that. Well, I can believe that. Okay, we haven't even addressed the fact that we're still turning 300 people loose a month that you after you arrest.
Let me know when you want to come back, and we'll talk.
Okay, well, that's Tom next week, so we're going to talk about that, and I know that's what's going on. Okay, tomorrow, Brad Long, Veterans Outreach Resource Center. I'm sorry, Resource Center about that. Plus many other things that are going on. Big Bike Weekend's coming this weekend. So many things are happening, and we'll be talking about that tomorrow.
K9 Car Show at the Elks.
That's right. Trish Clark's going to be joining me tomorrow too. So we'll see you tomorrow. Remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
But I won't back down.
The news is brought to you now on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center.
Top cardiovascular hospital in the nation, Shasta Regional, treating people well.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The first Ebola patient diagnosed in the U.S. has lost his fight against the virus. Thomas Eric Duncan died this morning at Texas Health Presbyterian Hospital in Dallas. Under new orders from Homeland Security, everyone entering the country will be watched for possible signs of Ebola. West Africa, of course, is ground zero for the outbreak, and registered nurse John Welch is going to Africa.
If you know how to help someone, you should. I think those of us in healthcare share a common understanding that we are responsible for the people around us.
Supreme Court Justice Anthony Kennedy has temporarily blocked an appeals court ruling declaring so-called same-sex marriage legal in Idaho and Nevada. Idaho had filed an emergency request for a stay this morning. Also at SRNnews.com, the FBI.